Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still enthusiastic because of the continuing study we are looking at through the book of Psalms. And we know that the book of Psalms exposes us to the most beautiful verses, I think, that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written by Solomon, or should I say ascribed to Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I like to consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank all of you for having taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God? Now, Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall come into the and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death to life. That's given in John chapter 5, verse 24. Now, the promises that you will not and come into condemnation, you will pass from death to life if you keep the words of Jesus Christ and believe on him. Jesus has said again, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. This comes from Luke 15, verse 24. Now, the promise, if you enter in through the straight gate, if you enter in through Jesus Christ, you will be able. But if you don't, you will not be able. Now, Jesus said again, and that was taken from Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus also said again, unto them, verily I say unto you, Jesus, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration will the Son of Man sit in the throne of his glory, and ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, we know that this was given, this promise, to the apostles specifically, but in reference, because we are an appendage of the apostles, we are an extract from the apostles, or an extension from the apostles, that the promise is this, and if you keep the words and follow Jesus Christ in the regeneration, we will have a seat of glory in one of those mansions that Jesus promised us. Now, that's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Now, the question again for this hour is, my brothers and sisters, are you standing on these promises? Now, before we start the lesson, as I always do, I want to remind you of this fact, because I think it is critical to our understanding and to our study, is that the Bible is written in code, meaning it is written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break through the code is through study and learning. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? The only way that we're going to break through this code is through study and learning. So let's get to it, to the study. Turn with me, if you will, to your sources, to Psalms 68. And we're going to be looking at verse 17 through 20. Psalms 68, verse 17 through 20. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the psalm to you. Jesus is revealed. This is one of the areas, this particular psalm is where David reveals Jesus Christ in his psalm. Psalm 68, verse 17 through 20 says, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, meaning Jesus, as in Sinai, in the holy place, meaning God the Father in the holy place. Jesus is in this midst. It continues, verse 18 says, thou hast ascended on high, and thou hast led captivity captive, meaning that Jesus has come from earth into heaven and has led captivity, which is sin to us, my brothers and sisters, captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. That those gifts are the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit that we have received because Jesus has ascended and sent the Holy Spirit back to us. Remember, he said in his holy writings that I will not leave you comfortless. I will ask the Father to send you another comforter. And that is what this is saying. This is pointing towards that in Psalms 68. Verse 18 continues. It says, for the rebellion also, that the Lord God may dwell among them. And we know that there is going to be Armageddon at the end of time and the war of Gog and Magog. That is, again, pointing towards that. Verse 19 continues, says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. And we know that Selah is standing for, pause for a minute, think about it, consider it, contemplate it, think on it. And we know that the benefits we receive from Jesus Christ, again, are the gifts and fruit that come from the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 concludes by saying, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongs the issues from death. And we go from death to life. We just recited it in one of the promises that Jesus gave us just a minute ago, that if you follow him, you will go from death to life. That means from physical and spiritual death in the flesh to eternal life, spiritually in heaven with Jesus. Okay, now let's go to Mark. We're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what we just read. This is what Mark chapter 1, verse 11 says. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." My brothers and sisters, God revealed to all that were there at that baptism that Jesus was his beloved Son. Jesus is revealed. Now we're going to look at our, we're going to see what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. This instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives that after being born again, listen, my brothers and sisters, that after being born again of the water and of the Spirit, Jesus Christ becomes more apparent to us. We know that Jesus is already within us because we're breathing in and out. But of course, you have to abound in those understandings and words that he instructed us in the New Testament. So after we are born again and we receive the indwelling, that makes Jesus become more apparent to us. That's what I want you to understand from that instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going back to Psalm 69. We're going to use several verses in Psalm 69. And what I want you to do is pay attention to this instruction as I read the verses to you. Now, this is the instruction. There are, I forgot to tell you, 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, and I've written 232 instructions for this study. And we're on instruction number 92, and this is the instruction. In your time of desperation, call upon God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? In your time of desperation, call upon God. And I can see that it is time for us to take a break. So after the break, we'll continue.
I'm going to make a preposterous statement. If your eyesight is good and your health is normal, I could spend 20 minutes with you, and at the end of that 20 minutes, I would have you hitting a bullseye better than Howard Hill, the greatest archer of all time, had on the best day of his life. Now, understand, he entered 287 tournaments and won 287 of them. He killed a Cape buffalo, a Bengal tiger, a bull elephant. He killed an 18-foot shark under 15 feet of water with bow and arrow. Or maybe it was a 15-foot shark under 18 feet of water. It was a great big one, and he was way down there. Now, let me say it again. I could have you hitting the bullseye more consistently than Howard Hill could have. And you might say, well, I've never shot the bow and arrow. Well, there is one little caveat that we got to add to this. I could have you doing that, though I have never instructed anybody on how to shoot the bow and arrow, provided we had first blindfolded Howard Hill. And you might kind of grin and say, now, come on, Ziegler, that's ridiculous. Of course. How on earth could anybody hit a target they could not even see? And I'll agree that is an excellent question, but here's an even better one. How can you hit a target you don't even have? Where are your goals in life? Have you written them down? Have you identified the benefits you would receive from reaching those goals? Have you identified the obstacles, the difficulties you'll have to overcome in order to get there? Have you identified the people, the groups, and the organizations you need to work with to get there? Have you discovered or explored what you need to know in order to get there? And finally, have you put the date on it? You see, until you do that, you're just a wandering generality. You haven't become a meaningful specific. That's what you need to do in order to accomplish the most in life. You've got to have a goals program. Now, everybody's got goals. You know, alcoholics have goals. Bank robbers have goals. But an organized goals program will work wonders in your life. Put one together. You'll be glad that you did.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. Let us continue. We're on instruction number 92, and the instruction is, in times of desperation, call upon God. That's so significant. And as we read Psalm 69 in these verses, I want you to keep in mind what I just mentioned, that we should, in time of desperation, we should call upon Jesus. And this is what David said to Israel. And it, of course, he was talking about God. And this is what verse 1 and 2 says of Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming in upon my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. So we know that David is telling through his psalm to Israel that you call upon God when things are troubling you. When things are problematic, that's what we should be doing, calling upon Jesus. Okay? Now, verse 16 through 18 continues the thought. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and I hide not my face from thy servant. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Thou hast known, and those particular verses are, again, God, we are told by David to call upon God. That's who he is telling the Israelites, to call upon them, upon him, because he will help them. Now, verse 29 and 30 completes the thought, and this is what it says. It says, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. That is the result of calling upon God. He will draw you out of that. And that's what's so significant. And that's how David taught Israel. Now let us go to the New Testament complement. And what we're going to do, we're going to see how John, in the book, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 7 and verse 27, how Jesus tells us to do this today. Now, John chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus is telling us right now, Pete, when you are in trouble, if you are despairing, call upon my name. If you believe in God, call upon my name. And 27 completes the thought by saying it on this wise. 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we must call upon Jesus, and his peace will be the result of that desperation or that despair that we feel. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should call upon Jesus Christ always and at all times, regardless of the circumstances. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is banking for sure. Hedging our bet, we should call upon Jesus regardless. Thanking him, worshiping him, praising him, we should call upon Jesus constantly, and that will give us the backing that we need, especially in that time of desolation and desperation. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Psalms 70. We're going to look at Psalm 70 this time, and we're going to take two verses out of Psalm 70. And we're going to, I want you to pay this attention to the instruction, a prayer against your enemies. My brothers and sisters, this is significant. Many prayers are offered throughout the Bible about avoiding or getting out of a situation that is confronting you. This is one of many that David offered to Israel, and this is the one we're looking at in Psalm 70, verse 2 and 3. And this is a prayer against your enemies. This is what we should be saying. This is what David taught Israel. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after me. Let them be turned backwards and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward for their shame, that they say, aha, aha. So what David is saying, that the enemies, let them be ashamed. Let them not result in overtaking me. Now, I'll tell you in the Proverbs of David, David told Israel that when the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So that is key. If you're going to pray against your enemies, you want to make sure that you're praying to God correctly, or every prayer is correct as far as I'm concerned. But you need to be praying to God intentionally. That's the key. Now, we're going to turn to our New Testament compliment, and we're going to look at what Jesus said about this, teaching us what we Christians should do today. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 14 through 17. John chapter 17, verse 14 through 17. And this is what Jesus says about it. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus is telling us, and we should be praying to Jesus for truth to protect us, as I said earlier, because Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. He's the life. And through him is their salvation, and none other. And that is what we should be doing. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should call upon Jesus Christ always, at all times. No, 93. We read that one already. But that we should pray that all mankind be saved. That would be the key of prayer that we should ask against our enemies. For if our enemies were to eat at our table and receive what God has placed before us on that table, as David did in Psalms 23, they would be eating the gifts and fruits of God, and they would no longer be our enemies. That's what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters. And now we're going to take a break before we go to the next instruction.
The word today is fellowship. Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. When I think of the word fellowship, I think of relationships. I think of coming together. I think of community. It's a fact that we can do more together, but it's also a fact that we can be more together. And what I mean by that is that other people around us, when we have community with them, when we have fellowship with them, when we have relationship with them, they add to us. You see, I am not complete in myself. I'm born to be my brother's keeper. You're born to help me. We're born to help one another. And there's something beautiful about the fact that when we recognize that and realize that we're not here just to compete with others, we're here to complete or complement others, that really makes fellowship work. So I hope you have some friends, some people around you that when you're with them, they just help you to not only do more, but to be more. They add value to you. Because what fellowship is basically saying, I'm better with you than without you. That's true. Welcome today. I'm glad you're with us on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, let's push onward and forward. We're going now to instruction number 94, and the psalm we're going to look at is Psalm 71 in verse 8 and 9 in Psalm 71. And I want you to pay attention to this, or keep in mind this instruction as I read the two verses. Praise God this way, okay? This is what David shared with Israel, to praise God this way. And, of course, there's so many ways, but this is the particular way that he gave in Psalms 71, verse 8 and 9. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in times of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. In those two verses, praising the God of our salvation auditably with our voices singing and worshiping in the temple. That is a good way to praise God. Now let us go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And we're going to look at verse 37 through 40, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. And this is how Jesus taught the disciples. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is critical, my brothers and sisters, because as Paul taught the Corinthians, he said that if you have the word of man intellectually, and you have the word of an angel, spirit supernaturally, and not have the love of God, it's become tingling cymbal or a bass brass sound. It is meaningless. So the way that we praise God is through our love, and love encompasses all the other ways that come along with it. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that obeying God's commandments is the undisputable way of praising God, because it covers all bases. So let's follow God's commandments. That is the ultimate, my brothers and sisters. That encompasses all, and love is included in that and all the other ways. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn with me back again to Psalm 72 this time. We're going to go to Psalm 72, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 in Psalm 72. And what I want you to do is pay attention to this instruction as we go, as I read the text to you. This is the instruction. Righteousness and judgment are key elements to godliness. This is, I think, critical, because I believe that our Alpha and our Omega, our life and death, depends and is encompassed, if you will, by God's righteousness and God's judgment. And this is what Psalms 72, verse 1 through 5 says to Israel. And this is David speaking. Give the kingdom, or I should say, this is actually ascribed to Solomon. And this is what he's saying. Give the king of thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. So judgment and righteousness and judgment are critical elements to godliness. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? He shall judge the people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. So again, righteousness and judgment is the equation. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and he shall break into pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. So that is what Solomon is telling us about righteousness and judgment. It is critical to godliness. And now what we're going to do, we're going to go to Revelations chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 11 through 13, and it's going to give us more details or the way we should do it now, because, of course, we are in revelationary times. This is what the Spirit is saying in Revelations 20, verse 11 through 18. And this is critical, my brothers and sisters. Listen up. This is what it says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whence the face of the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books according to their works. So righteousness and judgment encompasses us all, my brothers and sisters. We must be mindful of that. Verse 13 concludes, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. We are going to be judged, my brothers and sisters, according to our righteousness. We are going to be judged. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Obeying God's commandments, that we should do our righteousness or unrighteousness, and God's judgment will determine the difference. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? We are caught in that net that Jesus talked about when he spoke of the kingdom of God is like unto being caught in a net in the book of Matthew. He said that the fish that are within the net, those that are good will be saved, and those that are bad will be thrown off. And that net, I'm saying, is our righteousness and our judgment. This is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually again, that what we do is our righteousness or our unrighteousness, and God's judgment will determine the difference. That's what I want you to understand and take from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going back to Psalms 73 this time. We're going to be looking at Psalm 73, and we're going to read from verse 1 through 11. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read to you the text. Be careful when you use the knowledge of God. Be careful when you use the knowledge of good and evil only. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? You know we're saddled through inheritance with the knowledge of good and evil. And we must be careful if that's the only knowledge we are using. And this is what the text says on it, verse 1 through 11, and it is Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. But I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassions them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people are hindered, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And their knowledge is there knowledge of the Most High? That is what I'm trying to say, that we got to be careful that we're using only the knowledge of good and evil. This is what's projected in these verses 1 through 11. Because only the knowledge of good and evil, we know the end result is death. Now what we're going to do is take a break, and we'll continue after the break.
Don't watch the wind. Everybody put that in the comment. Don't watch the wind. Because that's what Peter did when he was transcending something that should have caused him to drown, the water. And he was dealing with elements that should have knocked him off his feet. The wind was powerful enough to cause the entire ocean to rock. It wasn't powerful enough to knock Peter down until he watched it, until he put his eyes on it, until he put his focus on it. And man, there's nothing that I believe more strongly than this, that faith and fear are both a product of your focus. And you can choose either one in any moment of your life. And so when we watch the wind and we spend all day just checking stuff that is constantly reinforcing our anxiety and forecasting uncertainty in our future, every once in a while, we've got to take control of our focus. And I just want to make sure you remember that the news is meant to be checked, not watched. The facts are not the ultimate reality for us as people of faith. They're important. Oh yeah, they're important. Like the facts right now concerning this virus, they're supremely important. But I want to know if you believe there's a deeper reality than that that governs your life. Like the hand of God is on you and your family. And I'm just believing for your peace tonight. But don't watch the wind. It wasn't the wind that knocked Peter down. It was the fact that he watched it. It says when he saw the wind. Check it out in Matthew 14. When he saw the wind, he began to sing. It's what you watch. And it's what you focus on. And just remember, you can control that.
I was so
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go with more of instruction number 96. Remember the instruction, be careful when you use the knowledge of good and evil only. And we already heard what David said in his psalm to Israel. Now this is what the prophet Hosea says about this also in verse 4 of his writing, not verse 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And this is telling us that if you use that one knowledge only, this is the result. This is what Hosea says in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. My people are destroyed for lack of this knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law thy God. And I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. This is what happens with the knowledge of good and evil. And we know that the other knowledge that eradicates the knowledge of good and evil, or at least gives us a resource that we can draw from that overrides the knowledge of good and evil, is the knowledge of everlasting life. And that knowledge is Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters. And that is what Hosea was talking about, that knowledge. And now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And we're going to see this is how Paul taught it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Paul taught the Corinthians, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So that's telling us that the knowledge of evil, of good and evil, is going to corrupt us. And we know that God said, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that the knowledge of good and evil has been cursed with death. And death cannot and will not go or get you into heaven. That is what this is telling us. We cannot rely on the knowledge of good and evil. The end result of the knowledge of good and evil is death. That's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. And now we're going to go to the next instruction, and we're going to get a little more understanding about the life of everlasting life, or the knowledge of everlasting life. This is Psalm 73 again, which it's going to continue by telling Israel what they should be focused on and not the knowledge of good and evil. This is Psalm 73, verse 13 through 17. Psalm 73, verse 13 through 17. This is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the instruction to you. The knowledge of everlasting eternal life sets, that is what sets us free. The knowledge of eternal life, everlasting life, sets you free. And we know that is Jesus Christ. But in the time David wrote this, this is what he prophesied. This is Psalms 73, verse 13 through 17. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the nation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You can't get this through the knowledge of good and evil, my brothers and sisters, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I my end. That sanctuary is Jesus Christ. He's prophesying to that knowledge of everlasting eternal life. And this is what our New Testament complement says about it. In John, we're going to go to John chapter 17, and we're going to read several verses. And this is how Jesus spake about that in John 17, verse 2 and 3, to tell us about eternal everlasting life. This is what Jesus says. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, or eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and know and receive the Holy Ghost. That is the knowledge of everlasting life, my brothers. And when we go to John chapter 18, verse 31 through 32, it completes the thought. This is what Jesus said about that. In verse 31 and 32 in John chapter 18, what Jesus says, he said, in not 18, John chapter 8, I take that back, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. This is what Jesus says. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is the knowledge of everlasting life. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that the knowledge of eternal everlasting life, it is our salvation. There is no other salvation, no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. And he is the one that gives us eternal life. That's what I want you to understand from the instruction that we just read. Now let's move on to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 98, and we're going to look again at Psalm 72, verse 21 through 28. Psalms 72. Psalm 73. We're still in Psalm 73, verse 21 through 28. And this is the instruction that I want you to understand as I read or keep in mind as I read the text to you. Those who belong to God receive this. Those who belong to God receive this. And this is what David taught Israel. In verse 21, it says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are that far from me shall perish, those that have destroyed all them that go a-whoring after thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I must declare all of his works. That is what you're going to receive. You're going to receive glory, hallelujah, for following God. This is what David is telling Israel. And now we're going to go to John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. And this is what Jesus says about it. Again, this is what you're going to receive if you follow Jesus Christ today. If you love me, keep my word, my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, nor knoweth him not. For he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. So Jesus is telling us that you will receive eternal life if you follow him. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the indwelling, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is the only way, are the best gifts of God this side of heaven, but the most and the most fulfilling. And so that is what I want you to get from this instruction. And now what we're going to do is take a break. Okay?
Don't watch the wind. Don't watch the wind.
Listen, America. Be very careful. The Babylonian Empire came down. The Roman Empire came down. The Kushite Empire came down. Don't you get high-minded and think that we cannot come down. We got to be careful what we let go on and what we let happen in this country, because it is possible. History teaches us that kingdoms fall. Nations fall. Empires crush. The Babylonians thought they couldn't be taken. They thought they were bad. But the Persians came up, and they brought the whole empire down. Babylon, not Babylon. Babylon's name goes back to the Tower of Babel. But God still brought them down. Not Babylon. Babylon comes out of the Old Testament. Mesopotamia, the new word we would have would be Iraq. Not them, but God brought them down. God can bring you down. He can shut it down. That's why you got to live with a certain amount of humility. I don't care how many skyscrapers you build, how many jets you own, how strong your technology is. God don't care nothing about none of that. When God gets ready to shut you down, he shut down the whole world with a virus we can't even see. And not one atomic bomb did anybody any good. Not one supersonic jet did anybody any good. Not IBM, not Xerox, not Google. Not nobody could do anything about it. God used something we never even thought of. A bug from a bird shut down the planet. You don't know what God's going to fight with, but I declare God's going to get you out of this.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go again. We're on instruction number 99, and we're back to Psalms. This time we're going to look at Psalm 74, and we're going to look at several verses in Psalm 74. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the psalm to you. This is another prayer in the time of desolation. Remember, we already reviewed when we call upon God in desperation, and here David is rehearsing to Israel another in another psalm a prayer in the time of desolation. And this is what it says in Psalms 71, verse 1. It says, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doeth thy anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? And this is more of the thought of the cry or the prayer. It says from 10 through 16, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is the King of old. Working salvation is in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the water. Thou breakest the heads of the Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine. The night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Now, so far, David is crying out to the Lord, why is this being allowed to happen to me? And there are things that you provide regardless. Now, God is going to continue to take care of his creation. He is Jehovah Jireh. But as far as humanity is concerned, as far as you and I are concerned, my precious brothers and sisters, God is only going to continue to increase what he gives you normally if you follow his commandments. We understand through the New Testament several times, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So that is where we lack the connection. And what has happened in this prayer, this exposure is telling us that we're continuing to use the knowledge of good and evil to contact God and to look for God to restore us to our former glory. That's not going to happen in this New Testament time. We need to have, as we just reviewed, the knowledge of everlasting life, eternal life, to give us what we need. Now, to complete this thought that David is giving Israel, we're going to go to verse 19 now and complete the thought throughout verse 21. This is what David says. O, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitation of cruelty. O, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let not the poor and needy praise. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Now this is the cry, and David is teaching the people that they must constantly request God for mercy. And we know that that mercy comes through Jesus Christ. And we know also that when we are only using the knowledge of good and evil, the end result of that usage is going to be death. But if we persist and continue to inquire to God, he is going to give us the understanding of what we need to do. As we just said earlier, seek ye, this is my beloved son, in him whom I am well pleased, seek, hear ye him. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to Matthew, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 9 through 13. I know you're familiar with this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. This is what Jesus is telling us how to pray. And I submit to you, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what we should be using in our daily approach to the Lord God Almighty, especially in the time of desolation. This is what we should do. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is how we access God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're asking God, we're recognizing God the Father that will give us what we need. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are asking God to daily provide for us, and we will respond accordingly. We will not hold anything or judge anyone else that is confronting us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that, again, leading us not into temptation, we need to follow what God has instructed when he says, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And Jesus tells us through this prayer how to approach God the Father. And that should be the main prayer that we should be using. Now, there are also other words that can be used, and I would suggest you pray, period. But the key to the answer is that you follow the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you. That is critical to today's getting a response from God, more especially in the time of desolation. My brothers and sisters, there are many Christians. I've said it before, but I'm going to re-say it tonight because of the emphatic point that it is critically making, that there are many Christians. First, I'm going to share with you that many Christians are not born again, and that is essential to receiving response from God. You must be born again. And we have many Christians that are born again that do not have the indwelling, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That, again, is critical to getting the full response from God. Now, I said Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse 23, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is being born again and having the indwelling, because Jesus says that the Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you. And that is significant, my brothers and sisters, and you can take that to the bank. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that following the words of Jesus Christ is paramount to victory over the sins that beset us in this world. It is paramount, my brothers and sisters, and that means that we should follow all of Jesus' words, like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. Jesus told us to take no thought for tomorrow or worry, for tomorrow will take thought and give worry for itself. For sufficient are the evils of this day to overcome and conquer and be victorious over. That is what we should be focusing on. The words of the Lord, praying constantly, as Paul taught, with thanksgiving and supplication, making all of our prayers to God. And that is when we receive the peace that passeth all understanding. Now, this completes the lesson for this evening, my brothers and sisters. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m.